UC San Diego, offering master's degree programs in data science, designed for working professionals to learn in-demand skills and gain industry connections to advance their career. More at mas-dse.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, March 2nd. Why were immigration court observers briefly detained and cited? More on that next, but first, the headlines. Starting today, if you are a San Diego resident who has verified your address via an online portal, you are now able to park for free all day long at 7 out of 12 lots in Balboa Park. Those parking in the remaining 5 premium lots will still pay a fee, with verified residents paying half of that price online. You can access the verification portal at sandiego.permitportal.com. Both residents and non-residents must pay an initial $5 registration fee, which covers the cost of processing applications. Verification can take up to 2 business days. The Registrar of Voters has sent out more than 2 million postcards reminding people of the ways they can vote in the upcoming June 2nd primary. You can return your ballot by mail, in an official registrar's ballot drop box, or at any vote center. The county says you should look for ballots the week of May 4th, which gives you nearly a month to vote and return your ballot. In-person voting starts May 4th at the Registrar of Voters office located in Kearny Mesa. With all vote centers opening daily starting on May 30th, the final day to vote in the primary is, of course, June 2nd. San Diego County has launched a survey that gives its residents a voice in the next fiscal year budget. The new budget will go into effect on July 1st, once approved by the Board of Supervisors. The survey lets you rank the county's budget priorities based on what you feel is most important. You can find it at engage.sandiegocounty.gov. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. Federal agents briefly detained immigration court observers at the downtown San Diego Federal Building this past Thursday. The volunteers told reporter Gustavo Solis it's the latest in a series of intimidation tactics from federal agents.
Patrick Corrigan was standing in the hallway near an office where immigrants check in for their appointments with ICE. Federal agents have arrested several people during their ICE check-ins, so Corrigan likes to go and offer support to anyone going through the process. This time, a federal agent approached.
And he said, you can't be here, there's no loitering, and you need to leave if you don't have business here.
Agents from Federal Protective Services, a sub-agency of DHS, issued citations to Corrigan and 3 other volunteers, then escorted them out of the building. Father Scott Santarosa is the pastor of Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish. He also runs Faith, the program Corrigan volunteers with.
So little by little, our ability to accompany people is really being restricted. And this is the most formally it has been restricted, when they threatened a citation.
Faith plans to fight the citation. Santarosa wants a federal judge to weigh in and tell them whether they're allowed to continue their work or not. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The Department of Homeland Security ignored questions from KPBS about the volunteers. Instead, the Federal Protective Service said in a statement, obstructing access in federal buildings is a crime. Late last year, the San Diego District Attorney announced a successful prosecution against a local gang. Reporter J.W. August says it was the result of an unusual partnership between law enforcement and the community.
Coming out of the pandemic in 2022, the Bridge Church in San Diego's Mountain View neighborhood found itself in the middle of a war zone. A
lot of activity happening right in front of our eyes. And the community knew it, everybody knew it.
Pastor Steve Marin says drug sales, gun sales, and prostitution were happening every day. It was a frightening experience for the Bridge congregation. They prayed for a miracle. Their their prayers focused on Mike's Market, which is across the street from the church at the corner of 37th and Ocean View. It had been controlled by 59 Brim's gang for years.
They literally terrorized our community.
Worshippers experienced the terror firsthand.
Outside the patio, we had little prayer circles, and two kids running up the street here, right next to me on 37th, 36th, shooting at each other, 22 pistols.
Another time, Marin's wife, Lisa, was cleaning up the children's play area in the bridge when she heard shooting.
People screaming, and then I just looked out the window and saw a bunch of people running, and I just kind of just ducked because I just wasn't sure what was, you know, what was happening.
Across the street, a body lay in Mike's Market's parking lot, a 26-year-old gang member gunned down by the West Coast Crips, the 59 Brim's sworn enemy.
Not something fun to see, you know?
A short time later, another gang member died in front of the market, another a half block away. In the 2 years prior to this, San Diego police had responded to more than 1,000 calls for service within 500 feet of the market. Things seemed out of control.
And we said, this is not okay. So we're going to pray against violence, pray against chaos.
The business never slowed at Mike's Market. Deputy District Attorney Miriam Hemming led the operation.
Mike's Market has been known to law enforcement and to the district attorney's office as a hotbed of gang activity going back decades, probably.
Mountain View experienced what District Attorney Summer Steffen describes as piecemeal policing.
The way law enforcement generally works is you have a call for service and police respond.
While this approach resulted in arrests, it didn't fix the underlying problem.
The same people are going to just come out of jail and start over. Many of the people that we've convicted had prior records.
Also, if the police only show up when there's trouble, they don't make meaningful connections with residents. Historically, this has been the case in marginalized communities.
The whole establishment was racist.
Henry Wallace has seen how police interact with communities of color in San Diego for more than a half century.
They had a stereotype ideal about what blacks does and how they should treat black people as well as Hispanics.
As a member of the San Diego Black Panther Party since 1967, Wallace has seen police community relations improve, but cautions there remains residual mistrust. Steffen says she understands that.
Community trust is the most important thing for effective strategic law enforcement, public safety, and prosecution.
A key connection in this case was between Pastor Marin and Lieutenant Omar Luz Zudiaga, the SDPD's community relations officer for the neighborhood. It began with a meeting at the Bridge Church.
And I'm never gonna forget this. He took me to his balcony and we faced Mike's Market. There was a lot of cars selling drugs and Pastor pointed him out.
There was casings of bullets, rounds of bullets. You remember that?
Yep.
I'm like, hey, look at the casing right here. Hey, there's a casing right there.
It soon became clear that this case required a different approach. But it didn't happen right away. It took time to build momentum.
And little by little, we began to bring more people on board.
Ultimately, the DA's office and SDPD formed a special unit of gang experts, and Operation Mic Drop was born. JW August, KPBS News.
Tomorrow, an inside look at how the DA and police made their case. Relief could be on the horizon for water rate payers. Reporter John Carroll has more on when rate payers here might see lower bills and why.
Water, like so many other things in the San Diego region, is not cheap. Among the reasons for high rates here are investments made over the years, $3 billion worth poured into things like the Lewis desalination plant in Carlsbad. But now, the San Diego County Water Authority has approved what it calls a landmark agreement to explore water transfers, selling H2O to other water districts in Southern California, and even to neighboring Southwest states. Water Authority General Manager Dan Denham says those years of investments could start to pay off for local ratepayers.
Take some of that investment that we made and rebalance that water resource mix that we have for the region. So when we're talking about virtually transferring water or exchanging water with other parties, whether that's in Southern California or in other states, we're doing it with no supply harm, if you will, to San Diegans.
Denham says depending on what other water agencies do, those sales could start this year, with ratepayers seeing relief as soon as 2027. John Carroll, KPBS News.
San Marcos community members are celebrating after the school board changed course on a plan to lay off librarians. Education reporter Katie Anastas says district leaders warn budget cuts are still coming.
Students, parents, and staff packed Thursday night's meeting of the San Marcos Unified School Board. The board was considering a series of layoffs to close some of its $10 million budget gap. The proposal included cutting elementary school librarians' hours in half. Board member Heidi Herrick says the board is in a difficult position.
We do not want to cut our librarians, and we need to keep our district in business.
The board took the librarians off the list for layoffs, but they say more cuts are inevitable. The district's enrollment has dropped as families have fewer kids. That's meant less funding from the state. Meanwhile, utilities, insurance, and health benefits are getting more expensive. San Marcos Superintendent Andy Johnson says state funding isn't keeping up.
The room that you see full here tonight, what's playing out here is playing out in school districts all up and down this state. And that's very, very important to recognize. And I hope that the folks who are legislating and making some of these decisions are taking note of this.
The board did approve layoff notices for about 17 teachers, social workers, and counselors. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
If you've driven on Interstate 5 in Carlsbad lately, you've probably noticed some beautiful colors on the east side of the freeway near Palomar Airport Road. North County reporter Alexander Wen got a sneak peek of the Carlsbad flower fields before the official opening on Sunday.
It might be winter elsewhere in the country, but in San Diego, signs of spring are already here. The giant tecolote ranunculus are in bloom.
That's a great showing on opening day.
Taylor Moss is the marketing and operations manager for the flower fields. 80 million flowers are expected to bloom across the 55-acre farm over the 10 weeks that it's open to the public. And there are more than just flowers at the Carlsbad Ranch. New this year is the expanded butterfly encounter. The 1,000-square-foot enclosure was built from the ground up, plus a 5K where participants get to run around the entire flower fields before they open on March 15th.
It's St. Patrick's Day theme, and, you know, we have some wellness classes that we've never done before. Meditation, yoga, sound bath. We're really excited.
The flower fields are open through Mother's Day weekend. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
All right, SDNN listeners, today is yet another episode of Pod Behind the Package. Joining me this week is our environment reporter, Tammy Murga, to discuss her story on how border wall barriers are dividing the bighorn sheep from resources. Here's that combo. Tammy's here with us. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Welcome back. Thank you for making time. Thank you for being willing. How is everything?
Good. Busy.
Yes,
it's
I'm sure.
It's been a busy month.
Yes, oh, I know. Take me back. This is a lovely two-part feature. Take me back to when you first became aware of this story.
Yeah, actually, this was interesting because I was really working on a story about a lawsuit here in San Diego. The city of San Diego sued the federal government for really alleging that they trespassed in city property and placed concertina wire to essentially, it's part of the federal government's bigger plan to close gaps in the border wall until they can actually put those steel barriers. They're putting a lot of concertina wire all along these San Diego and all the neighboring states. And in that lawsuit, they said, well, in addition to trespassing, you're endangering precious resources there, natural habitats, endangered species. So that really got my attention. I said, well, what's here in the Marin Valley? What endangered species? What kind of plants are we talking about? And in researching that, I came across this organization called the Wildlands Network. They've been doing a lot of this work in other states. They've been collecting a lot of data that looks at openings in the border wall in Arizona and Texas and New Mexico. There are these really, really small openings, like the size of a sheet of paper, in the steel wall. And I thought, well, maybe there's some here in California. I reached out and emailed her, and she said, actually, no, there are none in California, and we're currently working on making that happen here. So I thought that's a story that's happening right now, and it's timely, of course, with you know, the Trump administration's plan to close more gaps. And that just opened up this whole other, just larger question into what really happens with wildlife once you start closing those gaps.
Yeah, and I like this story a lot because it's almost like an intersection of, you know, obviously we do a decent amount of reporting here about border walls, but this also, while still acknowledging that, looks at animals. And obviously you're an environment reporter. Talk to me about bighorn sheep and what are their numbers looking like? How much of a risk would this put on, and how much of a timeline would need to be put in place to put a couple temporary entrances to save their species? How at risk are these bighorn sheep?
Well, they're already endangered. They're already considered endangered here in California. You know, what's really interesting is there are many subgroups. One group lives by the border. And what this wall does really is it sort of ends up dividing resources. What biologists have told me is, for the most part, a lot of the food is here in the U.S. Water sources are in Mexico, so they're often crossing by to get all of that. But when you close, you seal those gaps, this group starts to move further up north. And what they find over there is the freeway. There's already decreasing numbers of bighorn sheep in that area. Another subgroup that lives near the Interstate 8 freeway between Ocotillo and Jacumba Hot Springs. And the data shows that there's about 2 to 3 bighorn sheep that die every year just off of vehicle collisions. And that is largely an undercount. So since 2012, there's been about 30 bighorn sheep that have been tallied. And again, that's still very much underreported. So I think the worry here is that those numbers are going to increase because of migrations from, you know, animals are going to look for more resources. If they can't cross, they're going to move farther up where they will potentially find these resources.
Talk to me about some of the travel involved when you covered this story, as well as your VJ, Matthew Bowler, traveling across the border into Mexico to cover. Talk to me a little bit about all the work on land, by air. Talk to me about all the forms of travel that it took to make this shoot happen.
Sure. I mean, definitely my little sedan couldn't have done this as much as I wanted it. But yeah, it really took a lot of coordination. Really, really grateful for all of the support that these biologists offered. They said, hey, we have some open seats in a plane. We're going to go get a different perspective of this area because we really want to point out where in this region are these gaps needed and where on the highway should we build a crossing and fencing? So, I mean, it's so much different to like see it on the ground than to see the whole picture up right from the sky. So, you know, I'm so grateful that they had this open seat and that really gave us as reporters to that perspective. And it was also a great opportunity to get really good video and photography from that, too. You know, we cover this region a lot, even just as environmental reporters in this region with so many other issues. It's just so good. So to get that view.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive journalism. I love the travel aspect, but I just really like the visuals that you provided. And there are multiple animals being put at risk, but bighorn sheep are the ones that are already in danger. The numbers are already low, but it also affects multiple animals, which I think speaks volumes. And I like that you use the word habitat because it almost shows that this is an animal's habitat while also being a border between two different countries. Tammy Merger with us once again on Pod Behind the Package. Thank you for your time, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
On The Finest Podcast, we cover the people, art, and movements redefining culture in San Diego, from Blink 182 to scrappy local bands. We also have cults, a lost composer, a world record traveler, and champion birders. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.